Welcome back to Ponderosa Ponders. It's Rockwell Peterson.
And Isaac Wilhelmy.
Joining us in the studio today, we have Justice and Boone. Appreciate you guys being down here.
Yeah, we appreciate
glad
it.
Glad to be here, man.
Happy to. No, it's great to have y'all. So, before we turned on the mic, we were just talking about different forms of martial arts and weaponry. And I gotta say, I honestly agree with Justice's take on this. You want to repeat it for the folks in the back?
Kung Fu in the modern day society is one of the most useless forms of martial art in existence.
Preach.
Okay. Why do you think that?
Why do I think that? Because with Kung Fu, it's like direction and flow of motion and everything like that. But the power in modern day Kung Fu is lacking so much to the point where most of the moves are ineffective against any sort of trained father or any other sort of respected martial art.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. In my opinion, as somebody who's been in a lot of fights with both professionals and a lot of unprofessionals, it's Western boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, and Muay Thai / kickboxing. Those are your main three. Wrestling is pretty good, but it gets beat almost every time by Brazilian jiu-jitsu because the point of Brazilian jiu-jitsu is to break your opponent. Wrestling, you just kind of hold them down.
Mm. Okay.
That's a more sophisticated measure of ground combat.
Absolutely.
Gotcha. For some people, include myself, what is the difference between that? Because most people actually don't know.
You're good. So wrestling, at least a lot of Western wrestling, there are different variations. But when it comes to Western wrestling, a lot of the times it's, you know, that basic high school, pick them up, toss them if you can, but even that gets into more of the judo realm. Yeah. Wrestling is mainly grabbing a knee or an elbow and getting your opponent to the ground,
and
then trying to pin them there and just hold them.
More of your Nelsons, your full cradles, things like that. But then, like with jiu-jitsu, you're getting into like your gif wraps, your guillotines, everything else.
Not only that, but your triangle leg chokes and your... So a really, really dangerous one is actually if a Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy grabs you by the foot and he knows what he's doing, your entire leg is broken, and I'm telling you that right now. Tap out. I don't care about your pride. If they get you by the foot and there is any chance that they will let you walk away from that fight, walk away right then and there.
Ankle picks are dangerous as hell.
Oh, yeah.
And they're quick with them too.
Oh yeah,
they'll be around your neck with a choke with their legs, and they'll be restricting your ribs. Like, it's insane.
It's
wild.
I wait 4 to 8 months recovering.
If you live through it.
Yeah.
If you live through it.
If you live to survive.
Oh my god. Yeah, it's wild to me because we've discussed this before on the podcast, but it still blows my mind that it only takes about 10 to 15 PSI to knock out, break the neck of, or concuss an untrained, unathletic person.
Yeah.
The bonus to training is it goes up to 600 to 900 PSI.
Another crazy thing that I've...
Substantial difference.
Yeah. Another crazy thing that has been proven through scientific research is beards. And how having facial hair, like a jaw, like a facial hairless beard, has a 95% chance of a jaw being broken on a impact of up to 25 PSI on the jaw.
Really?
But with the same impact of 25 PSI with stubble, you decrease to a 55% chance of breaking your jaw, or it was somewhere around those numbers. But those with thick, full beards had an extremely lower chance of having their jaw broken off the same impact.
That's crazy.
Because it absorbs the impact and transfers it to more parts of the face because all the follicles are connected.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
that's
so
crazy.
That's why, like, and historians have also studied people who have typically better facial hair genetics came from a bloodline of warriors throughout all cultures.
I've heard, like, that's why women don't, because they don't.
Well, most because women
they didn't
warriors
really fight back
then.
Yeah. Which is insane to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Just genetics and ancestry and how we have evolved.
Well, it's real easy to forget that we are animals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And with every generation, we're evolving and progressing. And there's this fascinating theory of the future that somebody had where they wrote this sci-fi novel. I forget the name of it. but it's like there's one branch of humanity that becomes super tech oriented, and they're smaller, skinnier, their heads become larger, and they become more techy, whereas there's a branch of humanity that splits off and returns to nature and is a lot bigger, more muscular, less intelligent, but more athletic.
Kind of like the high school theory of like the jocks and the nerds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another crazy thing I've read about like within the future is, I don't know if you guys know a lot about funguses, but there are certain funguses out there, they can only survive inside of a body at a certain internal like temperature of the organism that they're trying to like infect.
Yeah. That's wild.
And there are like through insects and everything like that, there are fungi out there that can literally take control of said insect, reptile, whatever, and because of their low internal body temperature, they basically take over and control the host. And if global warming like does continue, I've done plenty of research on this to like look up these specific funguses and everything like that, and it is very factual, scientifically proven things. And because of humans' internal body temperature, the fungi and the temperature that we've had through like the years, they have not had the need to evolve to be able to maintain
maintain
an infection within a human host, because they cannot survive our internal body temperature. But if global warming would continue, they would evolve and have the potential to, not just millions, but billions of people could become infected and controlled by fungus.
That would be wild.
Insane.
An actual, because that's...
So like zombies, basically.
Basically.
Well, that's the plot to The Last of Us.
I mean, there is parasites that actually can take over the host.
Yeah.
There's also a parasite or fungus that actually takes over a deer, and it's called the zombie deer virus.
Oh yeah,
which is honestly scary because it could evolve into.
But deer average an internal body temperature of like 70 to 80 degrees. We average about 94.
Yeah.
So most like parasitic, like bacteria and everything like that, and fungi can only survive up to like 83 Fahrenheit.
Jesus.
And so if like things were to change too much, they would evolve, and it would cause some serious problems, especially considering we have no cures for any of that, because it's never been an issue for humans.
Well, nowadays, yeah. It's like, it's a cure, like, they evolved because of the cures right now, because they evolve really fucking fast.
Well, yeah, bacteria evolves super quick. I mean, look at, like...
Yeah.
I mean, we have to create a new flu vaccine every single year, almost.
Well, they can have hundreds of generations in a single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's
whereas
crazy.
Whereas we can only
about.
Evolve so gradually.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, another crazy thing is, like, in the grand scheme of things, in the theory of evolution, it's crazy to look at different people and kind of see where we all came from based on our environment. You know what I mean? Because you can see definite differences and definite types of people that evolved to their environment over the years, especially if your family was in one place for generations and generations and generations, especially if they were doing the same thing. Because if you do something for 10,000 hours, it actually gets coded into your genetics so that your kids will be better at it.
Yeah, it's that generational pass down.
Absolutely.
Like ranchers and farmers.
Yeah. Well, the other turn of the coin to that is actually, they did a genetic test, and we're like, I believe that humans on average are about 93 to 95% similar to chimpanzees, apes, monkeys. We're 98 to 99% similar to fungi, so we're actually closer to fungi than we are to chimps, which. You know, at the end of the day, kind of makes sense from the fact that life on this planet, there's a theory that it started from an asteroid impact. So we're technically not of this world. Which is crazy to think about.
Would it be that fungi that was on the asteroid?
Yeah. Well, they found out that, like, the spores from mushrooms can survive in space.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so fungi can survive in space, and I think that's where cephalopods came from, like octopi.
Huh.
Actually came from an asteroid that impacted, and they had like eggs that were stuck to the asteroid that impacted Earth, and now we have octopi.
Hmm. There is so many crazy theories on like how humans came to be, though. Like religious theories, scientific theories. It's insane the numerous amounts there is out there in this world.
Oh,
there's
absolutely.
No way to prove it.
There's really no way to prove it. Like, it's really just you believe what you believe.
Yeah.
Well, it's wild because I don't think the science necessarily disagrees with the religious explanation in most mm-hmm. cases. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, who made the Big Bang?
Well, another thing that's like I've always found kind of crazy with the Big Bang is if you look at like when we clash atoms together now, which
yeah.
is what the Big Bang would have been, is an explosion, a split of an atom. When we split an atom now, it creates collide two atoms and it'll create a new element, but only lasts less than a second.
Yeah.
So it's crazy to believe that the splitting of an atom created everything that we see when scientifically we've done the same thing and we have not been able to accomplish anything relatively close.
No. Well, what's crazy is we mentioned this on the podcast before, at least I have, but E equals MC squared actually works in reverse
mm-hmm.
as well. You know, it works when it's negative. So we haven't been able to find negative gravity, but one of the theories about the Big Bang is actually it's like a random number generator where if atoms line up a specific way after a certain amount of time, because you kind of got to think of it like an ocean of particles, right? If they line up in just the right way, you actually get negative gravity, which has an incredible concussive force, which would cause the splitting of hundreds of thousands of atoms. And is one of the proposed theories in the vacuum of space of what's creating the gradual expansion of our universe. Yeah.
Aren't they also said to have, like, a black hole has a negative gravitational force? It has a gravitational pull, but inside of the hole, isn't it, like, the gravitation negative?
I think it's more so the density becomes so great that it actually... it actually condenses them.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole idea of, like, a white hole or, like, a wormhole is... Everything in your body, once you hit the event horizon, to the outside eye, you'd actually freeze in place and be suspended. But to you, as soon as you cross that event horizon, every atom in your body is condensed into such a small, microscopic cube, basically, it would be the best way to like conceptualize it, that you're basically blinked out of existence. But all matter is neither created nor destroyed, so it has to go somewhere. And so the idea of like a white hole or a wormhole is that's where all the matter comes out at.
So it's basically like a giant particle condenser.
Pretty much, yeah. What scares me is that we've got... Have you guys heard of gray matter?
Yeah.
Yeah, not the stuff that's in your brain, but like... We created it, and it's in a lab in France, and if they have a power outage... It will consume the world. We've already created a world-ending Armageddon, and it's sitting in a French lab.
Hopefully they don't surrender the white flag.
Yeah.
So Germany, please don't do it again. Please don't do it again. Russia, please just... Can everybody agree to leave France the fuck alone?
Yeah.
Like, please. I don't feel like dying to an ever-expanding
gray. Or we just
grab
the Swiss minimum. Banks enough to pay.
No more conquering.
Please. Please.
Let's just be in harmony.
Oh,
one world harmony. A one world order.
One world order.
Let's
call it the Galactic Empire.
Speaking of harmony, you know, like something crazy that like a lot of people don't know that is an actual factual thing. The swastika from not like the Nazi symbol was a Buddhist symbol.
Yeah.
Peace and harmony.
It's wild.
Before
yeah.
it was the symbol of, like, hatred and genocide.
Well, that's why they reversed it.
Yeah.
So,
they
like,
switched the
yeah.
way the hooks came off of the swastika.
Yeah.
And they rotated it sideways instead of straight up.
Yeah,
yeah.
It proved that they...
It's so crazy to think about.
It blows my mind. The symbolism behind everything is crazy. Like, how many nations go for eagles or hawks or... You know, some sort of large flying predatory bird
mm-hmm.
as their symbol because it shows strength. You know what I mean?
Which is insane. And when you think about that too, like, there's a lot of symbolism in companies' logos too.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy to think about.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of power that lies within public opinion. You know, because at the end of the day, power rests where people believe it does.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to, like,
lose that.
Lead people and construe them to believe what you want them to believe for, like, the processes of, like, what you want people to purchase, how you want them to think, how you want them to believe, how you want them to vote, just how they live their everyday lives can be influenced by such small little narratives.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
Especially with, like, how big social media has become. People are so influenced by, like, what people think, what's popular, that, like, a lot of people have honestly started to lose who they really are.
Yeah.
It's sad
because
to see.
Of social media.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly due to a combination of an abuse of where we came from coupled with addiction. So what makes certain algorithms, and that's the crazy thing, it's certain algorithms,
mm-hmm.
so dangerous, is it A, gives people a dopamine hit that they get addicted to, and B, it plays off of the fact that realistically, we come from and are meant to live in social units of between 200 and 300 people, at most, that you spend your entire life around the same group of people. And if you can't learn how to fit in socially, it's actually a genetically evolved, built-in survival adaptation to forsake the self in favor of the group for the common survival of everybody. Because otherwise, the group will ostracize you or kill you, and loneliness kills you faster than a pack of cigarettes a day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what scares me most about this continuing trend of attacking and debasing and devaluing community. And I mean true community. Even if it's just a group of people that get together every week and hang out. That itself is being taken away and attempted to be outsourced.
More so out of envy than anything.
Absolutely. Well, you've got people nowadays that run the world that have never really had friends.
Mm-hmm. They were ostracized, like youth, young adults, everything. And to make themselves feel more accepted in the society that we live in today, they searched for a position of power where people had to respect them.
And it's sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad to see because then they abuse it.
Mm-hmm.
And they are trusted in those roles.
Yeah.
Now we live in a very corrupt world that a lot of people just accept.
Yeah, I'm living. Because they think that they themselves can't change it. Which is fair, like, one person can't change everything, but if you find a good group of people, then a group of people can change the world.
If people actually have
Absolutely.
Courage and confidence to voice their opinions and, like, share what they really thought instead of ostracizing those who didn't, you know, give everything with a white line. You know, they weren't painting a different picture or trying to change things up, so they didn't, like, what we call cancel culture.
Yeah.
If people were allowed to just say what was really on their mind, the world would be such a different place. Like in the olden days.
Oh, yeah.
Where if you had a problem, you settled it, it was over. Not you dragged it on for years and years and years and never forgot about it.
Because you're scared of saying it.
Absolutely.
Scared of saying it. And when you say it, it's like gone to court or something stupid, and then you gotta wait a year or two.
Well, one of my favorite quotes is, "Evil wins when good men choose to do nothing."
Because
a lot of people are like, "Well, I'm not contributing to it." Well, you are by not doing anything. You are by not actively attempting to go in a separate direction than where you're being led.
Yeah, people don't speak out on what they're passionate about anymore.
Exactly.
That's why, like, Tupac said it best, "I'd rather be stricken blind than live without expression of mind. Express yourself. Be who you truly are. Do not let anyone hold you back from what you believe."
Absolutely. No, and that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, that's all we can do. And it crushes my soul to its very core, watching how many people have lost hope and given up on life because they were never given the tools or never taught how to handle the problems that life throws at us correctly. And they're too proud or too scared to lean on others, which at the end of the day is what you have to do to make it through this.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but like be like creative, be like their own person and their own thoughts and work on that.
Absolutely.
And bring in other people that think that way.
Yeah.
That know how to do that so that you can make a change.
Absolutely.
And you can have a support system.
Well, and then like the media in modern society has also like taught people to more so bottle things up and let it, and like hold everything back. When in all reality, if you don't focus on your problems and work on them, they're just going to keep getting worse and worse and worse, and eventually they will destroy you. It'll be your end. Yeah.
It really does.
One of the worst things for humans that I've ever seen is this continuing idea that, oh yeah, you don't have to change. You're perfect just the way you are. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Like, no. Value yourself. Respect yourself. Hold that inner dignity. But also realize and continue to grow and focus on bettering yourself. Because if you're not happy with where you're at, get to somewhere better.
Yeah. Don't be content on where you're at.
Don't get complacent.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you can trap yourself and everyone can trap you.
Get Absolutely. Yourself out of
there. It's all on you.
And then it can be used against you, too.
Yes, it can.
Saying, like, people see you never changing, even though you're unhappy with the way that you are, things are in life, and you just sit there and brew on it for the rest of your life, when in reality, all it would take is a couple simple steps, and you could change everything.
Why kill yourself when you can move to a new city, change your name, and forget everything?
And especially, like,
living the life that you want.
Not trying to, like, get too forthright with this, but in modern society, men are really taught to just hide everything.
Yeah.
Not like, and that's one thing that I've found personally. I don't know if anyone else will agree with me on this, but this is just a personal standpoint. Masculinity is dying so fast.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it is.
It comes from, we've talked about this before on the podcast, the Rat Utopia experience. So as we continue to put ourselves into large cities with large groups of people that we weren't meant to be around, with more men and women out of every generation than we were ever meant to have as a species, because 80% of men are supposed to die out of every generation due to war and starvation and sickness. Like, there's not supposed to be nearly this many of us. And so in our genetics, it's actually a control to become more effeminate in order to attempt to get along, because it's a natural built-in mechanism for our own self-protection. And you know, be who you are. If you're not a super masculine person, that's okay. You know what I mean? But if you are a masculine man or a feminine woman, don't be afraid to show that and be that. You know what I mean? And vice versa.
100% agreed. Like, there's nothing wrong with being who you are, being feminine or masculine, whether you're like a masculine woman or a feminine man. But to be afraid to be that way, even that's how you know you want to be, and having society basically tell you that that's not who you should be, you should always be true to yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If someone says you're weird, they're the normie.
Yeah, dude. Who wants to be normal? Normal people are boring as hell. I want to rip my hair out.
Literally.
90% of the time I talk with somebody who is completely normal, has never gone, like, your scars are what make you who you are. And the scars are the most interesting thing about you. You know what I mean? Like, AJR put it best, 100 bad days make 100 good stories.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
One thing, like, that I've always thought in life is, everyone always says the past is in the past, but you can never forget the past, because the past is what defines your character, who you are today, what makes you the person you have become throughout the years. Yeah, it may scar you and it may take a while to get over, but if you learn to look at the bright side and the positive outlooks of like what has occurred since then, or who you have become, or how it has changed you, or what it has taught you, if you actually sit there and dwell on it a little bit more and focus on the things that you could change and realize who you could become or how you could overcome the obstacles that you've traversed in life, you can become such an amazing person instead of sitting there and letting it just hold you back. Because they say you can, the past is in the past, but even people who say that phrase have never put it in the past.
No.
Like another aspect with that is, yeah, you might have messed up, you might have did something wrong in the past. You can forgive yourself, but don't forget what you did because you learned a lesson from that.
Yeah, never
like
do
I'm,
it again.
I'm a huge believer in forgive, but don't forget.
And that's why we have history books so we can learn from our past.
Exactly.
Well, the worst part is when people begin to change the history.
Yes.
That's
dangerous. It's super dangerous.
History is also written by the victor.
Oh, yeah.
So if you just listen to what you learn, you'll never really know the true history of things. You have to do your own research to figure out the exact truth.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, like our history books in the United States are way different than history books in different countries.
There's two sides to every story.
Yep, that's why
that is one of the most
really
true
good
statements in this world.
It's really good to read any books, like our history book and someone else's history book. It's really good to compare those.
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. And not only that, but I don't know if you guys know this, but there are different websites that you can go to where it's different theories and inventions and ideas and historical documents that are under peer review. And a lot of that stuff never leaves peer review because it doesn't agree with the common narrative. But the first thing that you must do if you want to kind of peel back the layers of life and understand what's deeper than just the social game that we play with each other is you first have to kill your understanding of reality and understand that it's a lie, because we all start off as children, right? And what's taught to us as a child and what we observe as a child forms our understanding of how life should work and how the world is. But you have to realize that 90% of the time, you've got a childish understanding of most things.
Yeah.
And I will openly admit, I've got a childish understanding of how, say, that light bulb works. You could put me in a room with all the tools, and I still couldn't make a light bulb.
Yeah.
I still couldn't build this computer. I couldn't make a motherboard.
There's a lot that you don't know and a lot that you will never know.
Absolutely.
But, like, my goal in life is to learn the most I can. Because knowledge is power, I believe. In Latin, scientia potestas est. Knowledge is power.
Knowledge, experience.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's all there.
But anyway, I think that is a good time for a ad break.
We will be back in just a minute. I appreciate you guys. So, Justice just brought up something on the break that I think would be really fascinating to get into. Architectural design and its symbolism. So, do you want to repeat for the audience what we were just talking about?
So, not all courthouses or court buildings, but the majority of them, if you look from a satellite view, like, and you know how most buildings have four central walls, but if you look out how the front part of it, it's typically a rectangular building with a bump out. And those three extra walls would create seven, thus creating a representation of the seven deadly sins, where our original laws of the land kind of originated from breaking those and being following the seven deadly sins. Every law fits into one of the seven deadly sins. So that's kind of a representation of evil and
good.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean by every law fits in?
So, if you look at, like, so you have, like, gluttony, pain, lust, envy, things like that. So, like, lust, you know, like, your sexual offenses, your rapes, things like that. Envy, like, people who would steal would fall under envy because you envy something that someone has, and just, like, so on and so forth.
Okay. So, it's, like, to prevent the seven mm-hmm. deadly sins. Okay.
Yeah, it's like, well, following the seven deadly sins would be then breaking the law. If you commit one of the seven deadly sins, you would break some sort of law or jurisdiction.
Yeah. So the laws are there to
prevent. They all originate from one of the seven.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm curious what laws prevent pride.
Pride?
Yeah.
So you know how we always talk about the right of freedom of speech, but certain things and speech and things that you'd be prideful in can get you in trouble? So if you look at, like, let's say, for instance, racial groups, pride in one's race can be considered a crime to the extreme level.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, like, hate groups, they're very prideful in what they believe in, and their pride thus leads to the committing of the breakage of laws.
Yeah.
That's wild, because this is one of my favorite topics. Societal morality has always fascinated me. And so my curiosity is, do you guys think that that's something that's built into our society because we're founded on Judeo-Christian values? You know, like the laws and the construction of the building, do you think that's subconscious or do you think that's a conscious choice?
I think it might have been something that was originally, like, thought out in the olden days, and it just continued as a trend without anyone really realizing it except those who originally designed the architecture of said buildings.
So see, at first it was conscious.
But at first it was conscious, but now it's just an unconscious standard practice.
See, that's part of why it fascinates me, because I truly believe that a good part of our society knows how to play the game, but we've lost what the game means.
Yeah.
Like, we don't... It's like if you lost the instructions in the box for a game that your parents had, but you still knew how to play it because they taught you.
We're all stuck in the tutorial.
What's that?
We're all stuck in the tutorial. We never made it to the campaign.
True.
I mean, a lot of us are.
No one knows how to complete the tutorial.
It's a lot deeper than if you really, really think into it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of us are learning, and none of us have really fully learned and moved on to the main playing field.
Yeah.
Well, it's like if you look at it kind of like a football season. We're all in the regular season. None of us have really ever made it to the playoffs except a select few.
You're not wrong. I've never heard it put that way, but I like that. I like that a lot.
It's kind of like a theory kind of me and my dad have discussed.
Okay, that's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I completely agree. You know what I mean? And that's, I've decided to dedicate my life, because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like I'm one of the few that's at least learned the path to the playoffs. And I'm trying to figure out how to teach that to others and bring them with me. You know what I mean?
Which is hard, because... Like, you try to teach people.
It's hard to teach
people. You can't teach people who don't want to be taught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Most people are not really open to change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because they're very content in themselves and the way that things are, and they've just accepted that reality when in reality. But in true reality, you can fix your situation.
Yeah.
They make things better.
They want to be safe where they are, because like where they are is safe. They don't want to take that risk of change. That's what they're scared of. A lot of people are scared of change, which, yes, it can be risky, but risk and reward go hand in hand.
Well, and we've fallen a lot further from that than throughout the newer generations, because in the olden days they didn't have safe rooms or safe places for people to go.
Yeah.
We have to have that now, because so many people are just so afraid of change and things they don't agree with that they are stuck where they're at. They're glued to the floor. That's like they're stuck in quicksand, sinking. The only thing sticking above the quicksand is their head, and they're stuck there, and they're content with living that way for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't believe that they can create something new and safe for themselves.
Well, that's why we see a lack of creativity nowadays.
Yeah.
That's why, like, people are so impressed by people who are artistic or who are creating these new inventions, when in the olden days a lot of people were coming out creating new things. We talk about, like, if you look at the Industrial Revolution, we haven't really had anything that on that level since then.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we've modernized and evolved over time, but nothing like we did then. People weren't striving to change things and make them better as much as they were in that time period.
Yeah. Like, of course, we're now getting AV vehicles, EV vehicles, and anyway, that was bad grammar.
No.
But it's not in the same capacity as it was back then. Like, we're not coming out with as much stuff at the same time.
Well, social media has a very big impact on it as well, because they see people that they follow or whatever, and they're doing something creatively, and they see them fail over and over again, which they're afraid of failure, and it just kind of shuts down their creativity and be like, what they're doing now is going to be what they're going to be doing in 20 or what, however many years, depending on.
I heard you bring up the topic of EV vehicles. That is a topic I'm very passionate about personally. Everyone always talks about how these are so good for the environment and everything, but if they realize the countries were mining all the materials and everything that we need that from, and that every vehicle that is mining that material creates way more fossil fuel emissions than
creating a normal engine vehicle.
Than a normal engine vehicle, and those vehicles are running 24/7. And it just, if for people who believe in the EV, look up a lithium mine and the damage it causes to the environment is so much worse than a plant for natural gas. And the amount of emissions they produce is over 300% higher than that of a factory that manufactures cars, plus the plant that provides the fuel for the power, the rigs, everything. It's so much worse for the environment, and the cost of mining those materials, the places that they're mining them in, and the laws and human rights violations that are associated with said things. If you really get into the deep down of it, there's so many awful things that come from creating those batteries for those vehicles that are overlooked so intensely by the world just because they believe it's better.
Yeah.
Well, like I was saying before, it's that children's understanding of the way that things work. You know what I mean? People are told that it's better, and they never do any deeper digging into it, and we're kept busy to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. And we're losing, and another thing that's crazy with the EV things is you look at states like California, who are trying to make it a mandatory thing, where, if I'm not mistaken, when we wrote our own constitution, weren't we allowed to the right of, like, peace, tranquility? If you're not at peace with having, because peace has a very multitude of meanings. If you're not at peace with driving an EV vehicle, why should you be forced and mandated to?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, but it's similar.
Well, they also mentioned domestic tranquility and peace within, like, the later parts of the Constitution.
Okay.
I want to bring up something. You said that it's like 300% worse.
Yeah.
Than
the carbon emissions.
Yeah, the carbon emissions are 300% worse than actually creating.
I mean, don't quote
normal
me on that
vehicles
number.
Yeah. I agree with you, but I know some people bring up the argument like, yeah, it might be worse now, but the more we create, the more we have, and later in the future, it'll pay off.
Doesn't work
that. What do you think about that? Like, people who bring up that
it
argument.
It could if we invented better technologies, but that's so much further in the future. By the point that we actually got there, we would already have created so much environmental trauma that it wouldn't even be worth the payoff.
Well, part of what bugs me is we've got an incomplete combustion process right now. And we have the technology to fix it, but it would make it incredibly unprofitable to do so. And so we don't. Money motivates a lot of things, and so does human psychology. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because on the same turn of the coin, if you want to think about it this way, we have the ability to make doors that close completely silently, but we don't do it because it makes the human mind uncomfortable.
Because we're used to
the sound. Yeah. We enjoy the... Yeah. If we don't get that, we get all like,
We get scared. It's
the
like
door
leaving,
did
it's
not
like leaving
close
your house.
Fully.
Yeah.
It's like
I gotta
leaving
shut
your house.
It.
Well, leaving your house not hearing the door shut fully. You're going to get scared. You're going to be like, oh, did it shut? Did it lock?
Shut fully. Even a ring bell, too.
Yeah.
Doorbell. Someone here? I don't know. Someone just walked in.
Just walked in.
Yeah, it's wild to me. That and the human psychology and the fear of nuclear energy. Because I feel like that I'm a huge proponent for nuclear energy over solar power and especially wind turbines. Yeah. And like it's a lot of the green energy.
Yeah. Even body heat now. Did you hear about that one girl that created a flashlight that is powered by body heat?
No, but that's fascinating. What?
Yeah.
Well, you know how we generate like static electricity?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's powered by that, and like your internal temperature like heats the core or with some of something within the flashlight that like powers the light.
Yeah. That's insane.
Well, because the human body is like if you could generate like static electricity from like a million people at once, you could power an entire city.
Literally.
So the Matrix. Pretty much.
Well, technically, if you think about it, like your nerves flow like a wiring grid. That's like the Matrix is like it, in true reality. It could be with the right technology. You really could power that much off of humans.
See, my question is: would it be an ethical conundrum to create the Matrix, but if you didn't force everybody into it and just put homeless people in his batteries and paid them to do it?
See, that would be a crime against humanity.
Would it be though if they signed up for it? If it was volunteer, and you're not killing them.
Yeah, but the thing is, what that is the amount of backlash that would come from that would create such a rift within humanity that it would not pay off as well as most people would think.
Well, I mean, it's all a lie, right? Like, we claim that slave labor is gone. Did you hear about what's been happening at the border? So due to the increased immigration and our inability to house them all in jails, they started leasing human prisoners to farms as ranch hands.
Really?
That is slavery. You lease an object. You cannot lease a human being.
So like they lease them out and then they get paid for it?
Yeah, the jail gets paid for leasing out their prisoners. Like that
That's slavery.
Yeah.
Within the continental United States, done by the U.S. government, and nobody's talking about it.
And they're not getting any...
No! They're making like 15 cents an hour or some shit.
As someone who's been, like, so I was wrongfully accused and charges dropped and everything like that for a crime that I did not commit. It was misconstrued information on the part of the person who said I had committed the crime against them. And so I served a timely sentence. But during that time period, you're right, that you make 15 cents an hour when you are sent out on labor, which... Everyone's always complaining about the minimum wage and how it's not enough to live off of. Think about those of us who have been wrongfully accused and locked up for our lives, lost all of our financials due to trying to get ourselves out or maintaining, being able to survive and have enough food because of the lifestyle that we are forced to be a part of when we are locked up for the wrongful things. And you get out and then you have nothing. You don't get reparations. Most people don't get any money when they're locked up for what they've lost and what has been like occurred to them.
And a lot of places, they charge you for every day you're in jail.
Well, and also think about how much money jails make.
Oh, yeah.
Or some people, if they get out with like nothing,
our prison system where they go right so back flawed.
To. Right back to nothing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, if you get out and you have nothing to lose, there's nothing to keep you out.
Yeah.
Of going back.
Especially those who are wrongfully accused and serve a sentence of like 20 years. After 20 years, that's all you know.
Yeah.
You don't know what's changed in this world, so you are so used to the lifestyle, like, you become accustomed to it. It's just like how you said people are so stuck in their own ways.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you just become accustomed to it, you accept it, and you become stagnant where you're at.
Well, that's... We are creatures of habit, and that's why it's so incredibly important. Even if it's just a small bit every day, like, it builds up over time. The time that you spend doing things accrues interest. Mm-hmm. What do you want to invest your time in? Because time is the most valuable resource we have, and the habits you create today is your future tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're never getting time back.
No.
And that's why when people say, like, time is money, and everyone's like, oh, well, I gotta work this many hours because time is money. No. You want to accrue the most amount of money in the shortest amount of time.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's how that phrase should really be understood.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of people have lost the meaning behind the game.
See, like, right now, where I'm at, I do work a lot of hours for money, but that's not my game plan in the future.
There you go.
No.
You're working right now, forward to your future, though.
No.
You're preparing.
I'm working hard now so that I can get to the point where my time is money is...
Exactly.
I'm working half as much for more money.
Yeah. And that's why I tell everybody, especially young people, but everybody, I'm like, look, how much are you getting paid now? Because that is your leverage at your next job to make more. And if you are not going somewhere where you are going to make more, stay where you are. Stay where you are. Unless it's that bad, which I've found 75% of the time, at least, it's not that bad, and people just don't like working and create a fantasy idea that it's going to be better somewhere else.
Sometimes it's not.
It's not.
I mean, sometimes it can be, but
it can be, but
most of the time,
it's hard to find.
It's not.
And
it's
also
really hard.
What people don't realize about their hourly is that's... If you think about your hourly wage, another way to really think about it, which is a really fucked up way to think about it, I sold an hour of my life away for $18.
Why
think about
you
it like that?
That. Yeah.
It's so much more like empowering to yourself if you think about it like that. Like, what am I worth? What is an hour of my day worth to me?
Yeah. Another way to think about it is, when you're spending your time, would you pay somebody else to have the hour that you just had? Whatever you did in the last hour.
Would you pay someone to do that?
For that what hour? Would you pay somebody else to do that? Mm. If you want to value your time, how much would you pay for the hour that you just had?
Depends on
how much would you pay somebody else? Yeah, exactly.
If, like, they know what I'm doing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they got to know what I do to do that.
And that's why, especially as a business owner, I've found that the biggest thing that determines your wage isn't your intelligence or your attractiveness. It's how hard you work and your dedication. How much do you care? How much do you want it in any field? And you need to find what makes your eyes light up. What drives you? What gives you a passion? What are you getting out of the company that you're working for? Because if you're giving more than you're getting, you're wasting your own time. And that's the worst thing that you can do for yourself.
Is waste time for yourself.
Absolutely.
When you could be wasting that time to be doing something creativity and other stuff or passion.
And don't be scared to fail, because it's never a mistake if you learn from it.
Amen.
As Yoda said, the greatest lesson is failure.
That is true.
Absolutely.
That is true.
Yeah.
You can fall, but you can always get back up.
Exactly.
But anyway, that is a good ending moment. Ending lesson, I would say.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
If you want to find us, you can message or find us at Ponderosa_Ponderers on Instagram.
Or send us an email at PonderosaPonderers@gmail.com. Thank you all for hanging out for the duration of this podcast. It's been great to have you guys on. Thank you for coming into the studio.
Thanks for the invitation.
We got Justice and Boone once again signing off. Is there anything you want to tell to the listeners at home before we go? Any closing words?
Follow your dreams. Even though if you don't have them, find them.
I like it.
I'll say, always believe in yourself and stay true to who you are, even if others tell you that you should change.
I like it.
Amen.
Very good.
Absolutely.
Thank you for listening.
And don't forget, keep pondering.